Thankful for the truth of that song this morning.
We can trust Jesus to be a friend that will always be there for us. I have a message this morning that I suspect is for everybody in the congregation today. Something that I believe applies to all of us. Something that we are all susceptible to, and that is stolen peace. Stolen peace. I'd like to read a scripture out of the 10th chapter of John today. John 10 and 10. It said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. One of the primary tactics that the enemy uses on those that desire to serve the Lord, those that are endeavoring with all of their heart, with all that they know how to do to serve the Lord, one of the primary objectives of the enemy is to come and steal away the peace that you can have with God. He would like to rob us of our faith. The enemy would like to take away from us that God paid a very high price for us to have. Peace. And so what the enemy does is he likes to come and steal it away by bringing vague accusations that you're unable to define very well. He likes to come and bring guilt to your soul. Guilt that you're not even sure why you feel guilty. You wonder, why do I feel uncertain with my relationship with God? Why is it that I feel guilt? Why is it that I feel no peace? The enemy is in the business of coming to those who love God, who are tender at heart, and is in the business of trying to steal and kill and to destroy with very little definition as to why. That is the enemy. We are a people this morning that we want to do right. We're sensitive to the dealings of the Spirit. We want God to be pleased with our lives. And because of that, it naturally can make us susceptible to the enemy coming in with accusations that you have done something in your life that God is not pleased with. And so this morning, I'd like to expose the enemy a little bit, that we would be fortified in our lives, that our faith would be strengthened, that we would have confidence that the Lord our God that we serve is able to keep us from that which would separate us from Him. And He's not in the business of puzzling us in the process. That's not God. That's the enemy. The enemy is in the business of puzzling us. He's in the business of causing confusion and creating blur that we cannot see clearly. That's not God. I'd like to read now out of 1 John 1. 1 John 1 and 4 says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light." God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. That's what this verse says. Not my words, the words of the Lord, as given by John. And I want to also, before we go on, remind you that in the fourth verse, he said that your joy may be full. Jesus is in the business of giving us a full measure of peace in our hearts. And he is a God that is a God of light, not darkness. In him is no darkness at all. And so we find from these verses that God leads by light. God doesn't lead with darkness. God leads with light and visibility, not uncertainty accompanied by guilt. That's not how God leads. Jesus never did this. I can't find an account where Jesus Christ came to help bring people to him and bring them peace, and yet one of the tools that he uses is then to cause unexplained guilt, where we didn't really understand why we felt guilty. He brings us an absence of peace, no peace. He brings us darkness and despair and uncertainty. And I never found where Jesus did that. Jesus came bringing light. Jesus came to show us a way out. When the Lord comes and shines light upon what is wrong in our lives, it is accompanied by, to the soul that is seeking him, it is accompanied by a way out. And what we can do to be able to bring ourselves back where God wants us. But the enemy, what he does is he comes and he brings accusations and guilt and darkness and dismay with no way out. We find no way to get out of it. It just seems like we are surrounded by that. But that's not the way that God works. It is true this morning that the Lord wants us to learn how to wait on him. And we're taught in the scriptures that the Lord desires that we wait for his timing, but that we wait with courage. In the 27th chapter of Psalms, and the 14th verse, the psalmist said, "Wait on the Lord." But then what did he say? Did he say, "Wait on the Lord when you don't know the way, and make sure that you have healthy doses and measures of guilt because you don't know the way, and accusations because you should know the way, and darkness, make sure that you don't have any peace while you're waiting"? Is that what the psalmist said? No. That's right. The psalmist said, "Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." So he does want us to wait, but the Lord does not want us to allow waiting for the answer to lead to confusion regarding our relationship with God. That's not how the Lord wants us to wait. Where we then become, because we're not sure of the way, that we then allow confusion to come in regarding not just the thing that we're uncertain about, but our relationship with God. Which then leads to an absence of peace, which then can lead to us not knowing where we stand with the Father. That's not the way that the Lord wants us to wait. God wants us to wait with courage and trust and confidence that He loves you, that He cares about you, that He has your best interest at heart. God is a God of peace. He is a God of light. He's not a God of darkness. And as long as we are living, doing all that we know to do is right, and we are yielding ourselves to the Lord with open ears and an open mind and an open heart and seeking the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, help me to know what you would like me to change in my life. Lord, help me to know those places in my life that you're not pleased with, that perhaps I don't recognize fully. Lord, help me to know how to better serve you. When we come to the Lord in that manner, we come with an honest heart. We come with a heart of, I don't want to displease the Lord. And we take steps to serve the Lord. The Lord wants us to be able to wait in peace. He wants us to be able to experience uncertainty in peace. I was thinking about the disciples when they tarried for the Holy Spirit. The Lord told them, He said, I want you to go and I want you to tarry and wait until you be endued from on high. And so they went and they waited. And they went into a place to wait. But the first day passed and they didn't come. And the Lord didn't tell them when He was going to come and give them the Holy Spirit. He didn't say, go and wait X number of days and then I'll be there. For all they knew, maybe He was going to come in the evening time of the first day. But the evening came and it passed, no answer. The second day came and they waited and they tarried. And they stopped doing the other things that they normally would have done because their heart was directed towards the Lord. But no answer. And the third day came, and they were still in the same place, and they were tarrying, but no answer. And the fourth day came, and the same thing. Breakfast passed, and lunch passed, and supper passed. No answer. And the fifth day, and the sixth day. And it seems like that when the fullness of time had come, after about 7 days, the Lord came. They waited with expectation. The Lord wasn't displeased with them not knowing exactly how He was going to work it out. I thought about Abraham. The Lord told Abraham, He said, I want you to go to a land. And he told him to go somewhere that he knew not of. And so Abraham said he was sensitive. Abraham wanted to serve God. And so he took off to do the Lord's will. But then all of a sudden he ran into a famine. And he ran into uncertainty and he didn't have all of the answers. Did that mean that God wasn't there with him? Did that mean that God wanted him to have an absence of peace? No. But do you know what we do as human beings? As Christians, do you know what we do? We feel like the Lord inspires us with something. And so we go to do the will of the Lord. And then we come face to face with a famine. We come face to face with unanswered questions. We come face to face with not feeling that all of our needs are satisfied. Maybe our physical needs. Our mind isn't satisfied. Our eyes haven't been, and our ears, and our stomach maybe even. Maybe we're hungry for something. And here's what we do. Here's what we can be tempted to do. I must have sinned. I must have displeased God. He told me to do this, and that's what I was trying to do, but now I don't feel God. And here's this famine, and it looks like all of this is falling apart. I must have gone astray. God must not be pleased with me. I can't have peace with God anymore. I've done something that God is gone His own way and left me on my own. And if we're not careful, we can let that thought process begin to consume our minds. The enemy loves to bring uncertainty. He loves to fill the space of waiting with uncertainty and accusations and accuse us. And with the absence of peace, the enemy, that's what he likes to insert. He preys on conscientious souls. But Abraham didn't do that. He kept the faith. And God was there all the time. God will be with you too. This morning, don't let the enemy steal the peace that God wants you to have when you're doing everything that you know to do to serve the Lord. That is a tact of the enemy. Let's call it for what it is. Let's put the enemy on his heels in the name of Jesus and not allow our peace to be stolen. There's a scripture in 2 Peter 3:18, and it exhorts us that we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, of God. What if it were that the Lord said, until you come in perfect grace, until you have all grace where you have no longer any need of it at all, and until you have all knowledge of God, I am going to withhold peace from your soul. What if that were to be the case? Would there be anybody among us this morning that would have peace? I don't think so. Because I think that we grow in grace. That's what the scripture speaks of. Growing in grace and in the knowledge of God. We get into trouble when we know to do good and we decide that's not important for me to do. I don't want to do that. I'm going to go my own way. We get into trouble when the Lord has dealt with us in an area of our lives and we look at it and we say, I get it, I understand it, but that's not what I want to do. I want to live it my way. I want to live my life like I want to live. That's not what I want. We get into trouble when we live that way. That's not what I'm talking about. We get into trouble this morning when we avoid the knowledge of God. You know that sometimes, have you ever been in the place where you wanted to do something really bad and you didn't want to really have to talk to mom or dad or bounce it off somebody else because you were afraid you knew what their answer was going to be? So you'd rather just... I'd rather ask for forgiveness than permission. You ever heard that term? Sometimes people at work will even do that as adults. They say, well, I decided to ask for forgiveness instead of permission. Well, I appreciate knowing that. That's good to know for next time, that's the way you think about it. God doesn't want us to do that either. He doesn't want us to be in that kind of a place. God wants us to be open for His knowledge. He wants us to willingly come and say, Lord, help me understand what You would have for me in life. But sometimes we avoid knowledge because we feel like that if we come face to face with it, then it's harder for us to justify in our own minds going ahead and living our own way. And so sometimes people, they avoid knowledge. They don't want to come to church. They don't want to read their Bible. They don't want to run something by somebody else. They don't want to talk about it because they're afraid that it might show them that they're wrong. That's a problem when we do that. But that isn't what I'm referring to this morning. I'm talking about people that want to serve God. I'm talking about those that come before the Lord and, Lord, help me know the way that I should take. And yet are still feeling guilty. Yet still feel the accusations of the enemy. Still feel uncertainty with their peace before God. God is not going to take peace away from the one that is doing everything that they know to do to serve Him. Sometimes even in those things where we are not yet perfected. And I want to say this carefully so that it's well understood. The Lord is helping us grow in grace. And there are times when the Lord puts His finger on something in our lives where we recognize that we are not where we should be with God. That's the mercy of God. That's not the time to lose your peace. That's the time to thank the Lord that He showed you what was in your life that He wanted you to change. There is a difference between not being at peace with a behavior or a characteristic in your life versus not being at peace with God and your relationship with God. That makes sense? I hope I'm saying that clearly. Say it again. There's a difference between not being at peace with a behavior or characteristic that is in your own life because you realize it's not where God wants you to be. And so you are not at peace with this place in your life. That should not be conflated with not being at peace with God and your relationship with God. Two different things. God is in the business of coming and showing us areas in our life that He wants us to improve in Him. But He doesn't come to show us those things so that we can immediately lose all of our peace in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Rather, He wants it to strengthen. Thank you, Lord, for showing me that. Thank you, Lord, for being faithful to my soul, that I can see those things that are hurtful to me. Lord, I want to come back to You with this thing. Would you help me, Lord, with this? And at the same time, Jesus paid too high of a price for our sins. Too high of a price on the cross for our salvation to then come and say, now for you to have peace, you're going to have to run this most difficult obstacle course, spiritual obstacle course. And by the way, you're going to have to do it blindfolded. You're really not going to be able to see whether you're supposed to turn right or left. You just need to know that you need to do it. That's impossible. That's not the Lord. It's the enemy that likes to come and say, well, you ought to know how to be spiritual. You should know why you feel guilty. You should know why your relationship isn't where it should be with God. And in the meantime, you've given your whole life and your heart to serving the Lord. That's the enemy. God leads by light. He does not lead with darkness. Jesus Christ leads with light. He leads with peace. Jesus Christ shows the way out. When He shows where we are wrong, then He shows us what good looks like. Do we have to wait sometimes? Yes, sometimes we have to wait. But to the soul that seeks Jesus Christ, even in those areas of our lives where the Lord wants us to draw closer to Him, there is peace for us. We have a few minutes left. I'd like to touch on the category of actual failure. Has anybody here ever failed? Anybody here ever sinned? Anybody here ever come short of the grace of God? All of us have. All of us have been in those places where God wasn't pleased with our behavior. But I want to say this. Jesus has not designed a guilt chamber of darkness with a perpetual unending timer on it that we have to dwell in with the absence of peace and darkness and dismay when we have come to Him with a heart of repentance. That isn't the way that Jesus works. When we come to the Lord with an open heart, when we fail God, when we fall short, and we look at it and we are sorrowful, and we come to the Lord in prayer and with heartfelt repentance ask for forgiveness, And indeed, we bring forth fruit meet for repentance. We take action. We show the Lord by the conduct of our lives, I wasn't happy with how I lived. I'm gonna do something different. The Lord has peace for us when we come to Him and ask for His blood to cover where we have gone astray. I'd like to read two verses here. Let's just drop down to the ninth verse right where we are, 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins, had a message a couple, three Sundays ago. Lord, this is me. Lord, this is who I am. I failed. Lord, I was wrong. Lord, would you forgive me? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in Hebrews 7 and 25, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Did you get that? That is such a positive, strong, affirmative promise to us, a description of who God is. He is able to save you to the uttermost that come unto God, seeing that He ever liveth to make intercession for you. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, who is harmless, who is undefiled, separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens. And that is the one that came to make intercession for you, that you might have peace, not from your own works, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord that we are saved by the blood of Jesus. We are not saved by our own works, lest any man should boast. It is a gift of God. Thank you, Jesus, for recognizing that I did not have what it took to have a place at your table, but that I'm only saved by the merits of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The enemy likes to come and say, you haven't deserved to be a child of God. You're a failure. You're not good enough. He's right. We're not good enough. He's right. We've been a failure. But that is not what saves us. We are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are saved when we come and accept the blood that was shed for us. We are come when we say, Lord, I will follow You. Lord, I'll turn away from all of these other things that draw me away from who You are. I want to be a disciple. I want, Lord, to be holy. Lord, I want to be set apart unto You. Lord, I'm willing to be consecrated to Your will. Lord, I want to be committed to doing what You want of me. It doesn't mean that before we can have peace, there's no other area in our lives that have any room for perfection. Jesus Christ came to save us from those things that we don't even recognize in our own lives. Because sometimes there are things in our own lives that are unrighteous, that God has not yet revealed to us, that His blood covers until such a time that He helps us understand who we are and invites us to come to His throne for grace and for mercy in that area. But the enemy is there to bring darkness. The enemy would like us, even after we come with heartfelt repentance, the enemy would like us to remain in a state of perpetual darkness and guilt and absence of peace. That is the enemy. That is not God. God is a God of peace. He is a God of light. He is a God of forgiveness. He is a God who wants to get us across the finish line into heavenly places. You think about the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. Jesus Christ said, neither do I condemn thee. He wasn't condoning her work, but He didn't condemn her as a person and said, go now and don't do that anymore. But be at peace. The woman at the well, she had five husbands, and none of them were her husband, but she had five of them. She wasn't at peace. She was in trouble. But she went away from Jesus Christ with peace and joy in her soul. The thief on the cross had no more opportunity to do any good work for Jesus Christ with his hands and his feet. They were nailed on a cross. He was getting ready to die. And yet, that day, that man had peace in his soul that was joy unspeakable because Jesus Christ met him. Jesus Christ wants to meet us too. When we come with heartfelt repentance, salvation can come to our house like it did to Zacchaeus' house. Zacchaeus said, Lord, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make right the wrong. And the Lord, I can just see him standing back and smiling. Salvation has come to your house today. He didn't have to go spend 2, 3, 4 weeks in a chamber of guilt and darkness and despair. Jesus Christ came in peace. He came with forgiveness. The enemy comes with darkness. He comes with uncertainty where we can't put our finger on why we feel guilty, but we know we feel guilty. He puts his finger, he comes in and he deals with uncertainty, but we can't put our finger on where have I gone wrong? That's the enemy. Jesus Christ comes, and what he wants to say is he wants to say, peace, be still. He wants to come and calm the storms. Today, let's be encouraged to call the enemy's bluff in the name of Jesus. Take your cares to Jesus Christ and be at peace. And this morning, to the troubled heart that may be struggling with uncertainty or accusations or guilt, and you're not sure why you feel that way, and you have an honest heart before the Lord, this morning Jesus' message to you is, peace. Be still. Romans 15 and 33. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. May God bless each one is my prayer.